Final hour. Beamer in for Bowerly. Getting out of here in a few minutes. And by a few minutes, I mean in an hour. Let's wrap up the debate talk. County executive debate was heard today here on WBEN. If you want to get in now because we're going to switch the topic. Maybe. Maybe not. If you fill up the phone lines, we won't. That's probably not good. Begging for calls. But you get what I'm saying. If you want to talk about it, we had the debate on today. Your thoughts. Were you swayed one way or the other? Have you ever been swayed by a debate? What would you have liked to hear heard ask? What questions do you want? Again, there's another debate. And then I'm having both candidates on Hardline. So maybe we can get your question to them. And do you think Republicans in this election should have ran a candidate with more name recognition? 803-0930, star 930 is the number. Fred in Lancaster has been very patient. Fred, thanks for hanging on.
Yeah, Joe, first of all, you don't need a time machine because we know the states like Florida and Texas did quite well when they didn't lock down for COVID. The next thing would be the questions to ask him, why he feels he could play hockey and not wear a mask when he's putting rules on that everyone else has to follow. And that's pretty hypocritical. If he never supported or backed it, I could understand. Well, you didn't support it or back it. He's putting the rules on everyone, and he's not following himself. He's a hypocrite. Second thing is, why did he endorse India Wallace? She's pro-Palestinian. She's showing that right now. That came out. And he supported her over Byron Brown. Why? I would love to know the reason why he supported her.
Well, that's, Fred, let me tell you, that's one thing I think needs to be addressed is the relationship between the county executive and the mayor. I mean, it's the biggest city in Buffalo, and we learned during the snowstorm that they do not like each other. And I think that needs to be addressed because you need to have the county and city being able to work together. And we saw during the storm that just isn't happening.
And he would rather have a socialist in there than Byron Brown. Wow. That tells me a lot what this guy thinks.
Fred, some good questions. Definitely, like I said, we're definitely going to dig into the COVID thing and dig into the relationship with the mayor. Appreciate the call because, again, we're talking about the biggest city in a county of less than a million people. They need to be able to work together, need to be able to coordinate, not last minute invite the mayor to a Zoom meeting. You know what I mean? So I think that's really important. Something that was kind of overlooked today is the relationship with Byron Brown and Mark Poloncarz. Can they work past their differences? Again, we saw in the storm, they could not. The county wants to take over everything. When the national eyes are on Western New York, you have the county executive in Erie County calling out the mayor on national television. I don't think it's a good look. It's not a good look. And again, it brings on a lot of questions about the working relationship and what else could be suffering with that relationship. Let's go to Jack in Lackawanna. Jack.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well. What did you think?
Well, I was listening to you on the way home from work, just catching what people were saying, and I'm loving what everybody's got to say because I almost got a thrill out of the fact that back in the day, Hochul, Poloncarz, all that, oh yeah, bring these immigrants in, so on the immigrant subject, you know. But the next thing you know, you see the New York City guy talking about Adams, talking about like, okay, this is a nightmare, this isn't working, basically, like, we're never going to get the city back. And then you hear Hochul pretty much saying the same thing. And then I see a Poloncarz sign on my street, of all places, so I Googled Poloncarz to see, well, what's up with that, right? So apparently now he's saying the same thing, but yet you are the same people that we're welcoming here. Where us common sense people, less educated, not politicians, knew crime rate was going to go up, violence was going to go up, drugs coming over the border was going to happen. How did you not see that, but us simple people did, okay? And with that also being said, I go to the protests, okay? I've gone to 3 protests against Poloncarz with the whole masking our children and whatnot, whatever. And then during that time as well, like someone mentioned the Bill Stadium. Why are we concerned about a Bill Stadium when we have all this going on? And how he handled it was a joke. So therefore, I think he kind of screwed it for himself. But anyways, also, let me add, I'm sorry to ramble. I'm just trying to squeeze it all in before I run out of time. before you kicked me off. Yeah, because I could ramble. So anyways, I got a phone call a couple weeks ago, and it was a woman asking me questions. I was driving home from work, and I got really frustrated because you could definitely tell it was pro-Poland cars. Okay, and I'm just curious if anybody else got this call. It was basically a survey. Okay.
Yes.
And the way they wanted you to answer the questions, I'm like, okay, I don't know how to answer that. Like, it was a trick question. Like, I didn't want to answer it incorrectly, you know? And I said, I just want to say it raises very strong concern or does not raise strong concern or in between, whatever. But the way they wanted me to answer it, it had me so frustrated. Like, no, I just want to say I am very concerned. And I'm just wondering if anybody else came across that as well.
I had that call in 2019. I have not gotten that call yet this year, but I did get a campaign call that, like you, it did seem to be leaned one way. But that was 2019 for me. I've not gotten it this election cycle.
Okay. Well, for those listening, I'm wondering if you got that call where you had to answer questions, and some of the questions they made very difficult to answer. Like, they mentioned the whole thing about the accusations about his girlfriend claiming this and this and that. Okay, I want to say it raises concern, but I can't answer it that simply. The way they worded it made me unsure what my answer meant. You know what I'm saying?
I completely, and if anyone's gotten that call, they know exactly what you're saying. I appreciate the call. 803-0930, star 930. But, to that last question, and it was brought up today, the temper of the Kanye executive, and I don't think that's a, I think that's a fair question. I think it's a question for a fair question for any politician. We heard it with Trump for 4 years, right? The temperament of the office. And it seems with the Kanye executive, if you disagree with them, it makes him angry. It's as simple as that, right? I mean, just look on his X page, Twitter, X, you know what it's called. And again, see the way when someone pushes him on something, it seems like he gets angry about it. Again, you're the county executive, you know? You are making decisions, and just like any other politician, you're going to have a group of people who disagree with you. You can't get mad every time someone disagrees with you. Yes, there are a lot of people out there that disagree with the way you handled the migrant situation with New York City. There are a lot of people who are upset the way you handled COVID. There are people, I'm not one of them, but there are people with you that are upset with the stadium deal. Again, there are going to be people who disagree with you. Right? I mean, that's just the way it is. And as a politician, you have to learn how to handle that and not get so angry. Again, we talked about it yesterday, because someone disagrees with you. You know? I mean, the county executive and I don't see eye to eye on many things, but he's agreed to come and appear on Hardline. So I'm hoping we can have a good conversation. I think we will. I think the questions I'm going to ask are fair. I think the questions so far proposed to ask are fair questions, right? I think when you have a record, yeah, you have to respond to how you would do things differently. And again, we are supposed to learn lessons in life, right? If I had the DeLorean and went back to high school, there's a lot of things I would have done differently in high school. So I do, my alarm goes off when someone says they would do nothing differently, right? Like today when he said he would not have done anything differently with the migrant situation back in May. Like, to me, that the alarm goes up. So because one of the things for the county executive is, do you want someone to have on-the-job training? He either said that or said something like that today at the debate. Well, I mean, on-the-job training is better than not learning any lessons at all. I think that's important, right? And people get upset when I say it, but same thing goes for Trump. I'd like to hear Trump say what he would do differently if he could have his 4 years back. And that's why I say I think Trump and Poland cars are very similar. They don't like to admit when they're wrong. They both have a bit of an ego. And they like to use social media. 803-0930, star 930. By the way, those calls are push polls. Now, I don't know how they get the number. They're said to have been done by major political parties. Here's the thing. I currently, and I don't think, I think in 2019, I guess in 2019 I was, because currently I'm not a member of a major party, but 2019 I was when I got one of those push polls. So that would make sense. And they're done by the major parties. That's how they get your phone number, and that's who puts the calls out. So thank you to a listener out there. Yeah, I'm going to say to a fan out there who sent me a text and gave me the information on those. So they're push polls. And yeah, you're going to get those around election time, and the numbers come from your registration to your party. Again, I got one in 2019. I'm not a member of a major party now. Probably will be in 2024 because I'd like to vote in the primary. Isn't that funny how it goes? Let's go to Susan in Buffalo. Susan, thank you for hanging on.
Oh, you're welcome. Okay, a lot of good questions. My question, and thank you so much for being on the air last year. I mean, you guys were lifesavers. I am so thankful. And I'm really amazed that there is not a public station that would do the same thing. And, well, anyways, my question would be, why is it that all the senior centers or the senior living centers are all electric only power? I mean, that's crazy, because when your power goes out, I mean, if you think about that man that called about the apartments that were the high rise across from Canisius College, and those people, their oxygen was gone, their lighting was gone, they couldn't see a foot in front of them. There was no heat, there was no light, there was nothing. I often wonder how many people died in that situation. And would we ever know? Would we ever hear from the news? Probably not. So that would be my first question. And the other person that I know died in a senior center, and she called for help, and she finally got somebody to pick her up off the floor, but all they did was pick her up off the floor, put her on a couch, and left her. And she died because there was no heat. And that was for days at a time. And the maintenance was on vacation. There was a lady next door that was in charge of the whole place, but I don't know if she was gone. But, I mean, that's just, why do you not have people, first of all, why do you not have an alternate power source for these people, or a way to get to them to check and make sure that everyone is okay, and that they can get to, like, the community room in that place had power? You know, why not check every person and make sure they can get to that community room and that the power is on? I mean, and then also my other question would be, instead of giving tickets to people who were trying to snowmobile and help out in that situation, why not, and if you have people in the summertime that are using all-terrain vehicles and you want to ticket them, well, hey, why not train them? Say, look, if you take this training course and you help us out in the wintertime, if need be, then you won't get a ticket. You won't be charged. And have these people be put to work in the winter if we have another situation where we can't use a plow truck or a fire truck, but we can use maybe a snowmobile, an all-terrain vehicle, or something else to get people to safety. So those would be my suggestions.
Susan, and that first one, the senior centers thing, that is interesting that there's not a backup source. I know my grandmother lived in a retirement community in Richmond, Virginia, and they were, you know, they had backup power, but they were also one of the first to get their power turned back on. You would think that would be the way for senior centers. Good questions there, and appreciate the call. Yeah, I thought senior centers all had backup, some kind of backup power, something to fall back on at least for an hour. According to our text board, though, someone texting in, 803-0930, I work in the natural gas industry. Senior citizens lose their ability to smell and thus lose their ability to smell leaking gas. This can lead to explosions of the house if the house fills with gas, or suffocation if the house fills with carbon, with CO2. So that is from someone in the natural gas industry. You would think there's some way they could have a backup, especially at a senior center. You could have some kind of backup power, so we wouldn't have that situation. I think a lot of lessons learned from the snowstorm, and that goes at the city, county, and state level. And again, I'm not blaming the county executive for the lack of National Guard. That's on the governor. But, you know, also could have maybe called the governor and said, where's the National Guard? I mean, hey, I'm not the biggest fan of Andrew Cuomo, but I think if Cuomo was the governor, the National Guard would have been here before the storm. 803-0930, star 930. And one more thing I have to say, because Susan talked about us being live during the storm. And, I mean, that is the thing about WBEN. We will always be here for you. I mean, the storm, there was, you know, people were trapped. People were trying to get in touch with loved ones. What good is being live and local if you're not live and local when Western New York needs you? And, you know, it was a tragic storm, right? Lost 47 lives. And I hope we've learned the lessons so that never happens again. 803-0930, start at 30, back after this. Final segment, 803-0930, star 930. If we talked about it today, it's open to you. Apparently, either someone's trying to make a fool of me or someone's misunderstanding. So before the break, I told you about a text that said senior citizens lose their ability to smell and thus lose their ability to smell leaking gas. This can lead to explosions. Then someone said, spent my entire career in the natural gas industry. That last comment about losing sense of smell is total nonsense. So, I don't, you know, maybe I should check everything before I read it. But, you know, sometimes you guys text in. 99% of the time, you guys are giving us good information, something to share. So, it was from a texter, right? That's all I'm going to say. I also want to say this, and people are going to say, Joe, you're getting weak, and the millennial in you is showing. But, you know, Pat and I had our back and forth, and Pat always calls in, and I actually appreciate the calls with Pat. We don't usually agree, and that's what I like. I like to talk with people. I like to talk to everybody, people who agree with me, obviously, but I like to talk to people who disagree with me as well, and Pat's usually that caller, and usually it brings something to the show that has not been brought to the show yet. I was just giving my thoughts. And I hope I didn't hurt anyone's feelings. I hope I didn't, you know, offend anybody. Again, I was saying just how I feel on the subject. And it was not talking down at anyone or pointing my finger. Pointing my finger. And again, I mean, this is coming from someone who doesn't fit into over 50% of their clothes. So I just hope I didn't offend anyone or hurt your feelings. That's not what I was trying to do. I was just trying to make my case and what I would have liked to have heard from elected officials. That's all. So I just wanted to put that disclaimer out there. And, you know, I give my opinion. Yeah, not everyone's going to agree with my opinion. Most of the time, you know, you're going to have a lot of people disagree with my opinion. And I think hearing the rebuttal, hearing the other side is what makes for a good program. So I appreciate, you know, all the calls and all the texts. I really do. Even texts that might steer me to say something that's inaccurate. But I do appreciate that you're listening. I do appreciate that you give me a chance, you know, and hey, unlike elected officials, I try to learn from my mistakes and do a better job each and every show. I've had a lot of fun this week hosting, filling in for Tom. I hope you've enjoyed listening as well. I know I bring a lot of topics sometimes where we're having five or six a show. But again, there's stuff going on and I like to address it all. So there you go. 803-0930, star 930 is the number to get on. Again, if it's something we brought up at all during the show today, you can comment on it. I do want to say tonight at 8 o'clock, the President of the United States is addressing the nation, and we will have that live here on News Radio 930 WBEN. It'll be interesting what the President says. And then tomorrow morning, obviously, join us starting at 5 a.m. with a new morning. Let's go to Dennis in Clarence Center. Dennis wants to talk about the blizzard and the county executive. Hey, Dennis, thanks for calling in.
Hi, Joe. Thanks for taking the call. I just have to say this. I've lived here my whole life, which is many decades, if you will, and I've shoveled a lot of snow over the years. But this snow was unlike any snow that I'd ever seen. It was so packed, you know, with 60, 70 mile, whatever that mile an hour winds it was, and you couldn't just move it. You couldn't shovel it. It had to be like chopped and broken up, you know, because I was trying to shovel my driveway and it was like, this was a chore. So I just want to say that this snow was here and it was very, it was probably the most difficult snow I'd ever seen having to move, you know. And so now we're faced with that. They know this storm is coming, but I personally was confused because Thursday night, the county executive issued a request for emergency funding, but didn't say anything about a travel ban. And I'm like, what does that mean? So we can still drive, I guess. So I left for work Friday morning, and then I'm on my way. This is very early, and I'm something seemed off, you know. So I just turned around and went home, and then of course, everything froze in place. But it just seemed like the worst of the worst. I don't think they handled it well, but I'm not sure with that type of snow how much better you could have handled it. I'm just trying to, you know, be fair to both sides, so to speak.
I get that, yeah, because it's maybe, you know, they didn't handle it well. We know things they could do differently, but even if those things were done differently, it was such a, it was the storm of the century. And, you know, I completely get what you're saying, Dennis.
Yeah, I could see where those plows hit that snow and just stop. I mean, it was as dense as could be. We could have made igloos. It probably would have been the thing to do. But, well, that's all. I just wanted to...
hey, I appreciate the call, Dennis. Thank you.
Okay.
Dennis and Clarence Center, 803-0930, star 930. It was a heavy snow. I remember on Christmas afternoon, Pasquale drove me to my apartment, and nothing around my apartment had been touched. And I had to climb through the snow to get to my door. And I mean, that was a workout. It was a bit of a workout. So, I think there needs to be lessons learned. I think we need to hear what how those lessons have been put into place, 100%. But I think Dennis makes a fair point, even with the best. Again, the sad thing is we don't know. We don't know if everything had been done right, if everything had been addressed the way that I think now we know should have been addressed. Would the results have been different? We don't know that, but I don't think what Dennis is saying is far off, because it was the storm of the century. 803-0930, star 930, gets you on to the show. Again, today we had Brandon Gelligan from Yelp Buffalo on the first segment talking about the places to eat in Buffalo list that's coming out November 6th, which when that list is out, believe me, I will be checking out a few places on it. Also, bringing back that question of things, you know, I want to start a video series of me going to different restaurants around Buffalo and eating their best dish, but I need to know what those places are and you know what that dish is. 803-0930, star 930. And then, yes, since then, we've been talking about the county executive debate and debates in general. Debates in general. Have you ever watched a debate that swayed your vote? I just don't think those debates exist anymore. I think too many people are already decided by the time they turn on the debate, and what they really do is sit there and root for their team. Right? And do you think, given this candidate, given this election, the Republican Party should have run someone with more name recognition? Again, that's nothing against Chrissy Casilio. I'm just saying in an election in a county that is more Democrat than Republican, with a county executive that most people know his name, he's been in office for a while. Do you think a more established name, a more established candidate should have been picked by the Republican Party this time around? 803-0930, star 930 is the number to get you on the show. Jim is in East Aurora. Hey, Jim, thanks for calling in.
Hey, how you doing tonight?
Doing well.
I'm calling in because, you know, I worked for the highway for over 30 years, and we went through a lot of snowstorms. And I'll tell you, if these leaders or heads would get their you-know-what out of their rear end and go and see how they really move snow out west and around here, they don't have the right equipment. They do not. They should have four-wheel drive trucks They should have a couple of V plows. The V plows would cut right straight through the snow. And they don't. I don't know why they don't.
I was going to say, why would New York State not have those plows?
You guys, I don't know. You tell me. Why doesn't Erie County and the city of Buffalo have them?
It's a good question,
Jim. Four-wheel drives. You know, if they had a four-wheel drive Oshkosh, it would go through anything. Believe me.
Jim, I have to take your word for it because everything you're saying is way over my head. But, you know, you sound like the kind of person that should be talking with the officials here in Erie County.
They don't want to talk to me.
Well, I appreciate it, Jim. Jim in East Aurora, thank you for the call. Now we got a back and forth on the text board, and I did not want to make this a back and forth, but the person who said that senior citizens, you know, lose their smell and taste gave me a link, National Institute on Aging, how smell and taste change as you age. All right, I'm going to read this. I don't want to read this while I'm on the air, but I was provided a link, so we'll follow up on that tomorrow. Pat in the Falls. Pat, thanks for calling in.
Hey, thank you. Real quick, I want to talk about Christy Castillo. I think that her family has a pretty predominant name, not just in Clarence, but in Erie County especially. If you look at their family's history of political ties and that, it's pretty impressive how they've been around. But she's not flying under the radar. And I think with Poloncarz' little oopses with his during COVID, taking group pictures with his friends and having some pizza, and the blizzard, little temper tantrums he threw and tweeted out there, I think it's time for him to go. And I think if any official says, this is the last time I'm going to run if I win, that tells you they're just going to coast the next 4 years, and so be it.
All right, Pat in the Falls. I think there's a lot of things you can point to with COVID, with what happened in August, right? The migrant situation, the police report. I think there's enough to where, yeah, it's a winnable election for anyone. The problem, I think what's going to become the problem again, I don't know. Like I said, Christy Castillo could win. Christy Castillo could go on to have a great political career. And this is no offense to her. I think she's a good person. I think she could be a good candidate in the right election. I think this election, you have someone who is a household name in Erie County, especially since the pandemic, right? With a lot of things you can point to. I think, you know, you're in office that long, you're going to have people that say, hey, it's time for someone else. I think name recognition may have been helpful in this election. Again, election day could come and go, and I could be proven wrong. That's just my stance on things, looking at this election and looking at, you know, again, a county executive that I do think is beatable in the election. I don't think it's crazy to think there's someone out there that can defeat Mark Poloncarz. I'm just not sure this is the election for a newcomer. That's what I'm saying. I've been proven wrong before, but that's my opinion where we stand on October 19th. I did not plan this, but my mom's called in, Janet in Amherst. Mom, did I say something wrong?
No, you did not. I just have to say, I know what the answer is going to be, why we don't have the right equipment or the equipment per your last caller out west. And I have heard that, you know, Toronto has, you know, superior equipment to getting through the snow than we do. But I know what the answer will be to any politician that you ask. Wait for it. We can't afford it. We don't have the money. We had the money to pay Dr. Bernstein how much. We had the money to put these illegals up in hotels, feed them, educate them. But when it comes to saving our lives, we don't have the money. Guarantee that's going to be the answer.
That will be a pretty weak excuse, don't you think?
It will. I mean, I still remember Poloncarz as answer when a little boy, this was years ago, but he was county executive, was killed by his stepfather. And they had many complaints to the county Child Protective Services. And he said, we don't have the money to follow up on every claim. But yet, you know, I was in a restaurant with you, 10 o'clock at night on a Saturday, And they had the money to send somebody in there and say that people were sitting too close. But we didn't have the money to save that little boy's life. But a bunch of adults, consenting adults, had to be, the owner was fined because we were sitting too close during a pandemic. So right. It's always about the money. That's always their excuse. But then when you look, and I listened to your, all respect to your earlier caller, like, how pathetic is it? Because this young girl, maybe she's inexperienced, but yet we're going to stick with a guy who has aggression issues. We know that. Several women have come out. You know, there's that process server. There was the girlfriend, I suppose, or whatever the relationship was there. You know, he killed, you know, 50 people. He couldn't handle a snowstorm. He couldn't handle a pandemic. He spent all the federal money giving it to, you know, his cronies. Businesses failed. But, you know, let's vote him in again and take a chance. Heck, I'd vote for, you know,
You used to say you'd vote for your dog, but your dog's no longer with us.
I know. I'd vote for my 2-year-old grandson. But, you know, people will just keep voting him in.
Let me ask you, though. I mean, in an election where I do think Mark Poloncarz is beatable, do you think the Republicans should have gone with a more established candidate?
I don't think anybody that has a plan B, established candidate, wants to do it because people here, you know, the Democrats just, I know people who, they tell me very Republican thoughts. They don't think anything like Mark Poloncarz or Kathy Hochul, but they've always voted for Democrats. Their parents did, their grandparents did. And I just don't think they even realize that the people that they're voting for don't stand because they don't listen to anything. They don't listen to the debate. I'm sure most of them didn't know there was a debate today. But they just go and they vote for Democrat because that's what the union has told them. That's what their grandfather told them. That's what, you know, I don't know. You know, when they complain, I just like, you know, well, quit voting for the same people. Yeah, you know, it's just like the people in East Buffalo who complain about their plight. Well, you keep voting the same people in. You think they're going to do something different this 4 years?
That's,
I don't.
It's what Tom and Cheektowaga said earlier. You know,
yeah.
You know, we'll see. And I do agree. I think the people who should be listening to the debate are not listening to the debate. And I think that's true for the county executive and that's true for the president of the United States. I just, it's not 1960. There's more than the debate on TV. And, you know, if they can find, if you can find something else, most people will.
Right.
All right. Right. Well, Mom, thanks for calling in.
Can I say one more thing?
Sure. We're up against the clock, but go ahead.
I'm sorry. I did have to laugh when you said there wasn't much to talk about. There's two wars going on, and we don't have a Speaker of the House. I mean,
and I've talked about all those things. I've talked about all those things in the week.
I know. I'm just kidding you.
All right, Mom. Thanks. Janet Amherst, that's our final caller. I did not ask her to call in. She called in, and that will be our final call of the day. Thank you, everyone who called in, who texted in, who sent me something on social media. Even if it was a criticism, I do appreciate you reaching out. We have Buffalo's Evening News coming up next, then Armstrong and Getty. And at, like I said, 8 o'clock, President Joe Biden is addressing the nation, and you can hear that live here on News Radio 930 WBEN. I'll talk to you tomorrow at 2, right here. Again, on News Radio 930 WBEN.